Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The buzzer went off, but the conversation never stops. This is Overtime with Jake Volnick. We are Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan.
Friday, Cleveland. It is a Dylan Gabriel Friday. That's what we have walked ourselves into. It's also a Guardians disappointment Friday, which we're going to have to walk into. We're going to have to talk about that. Although not a disappointment, which we're going to break. We're going to break down the entirety of it. Not a disappointment, but a disappointment. Hopefully not the same assessment that we have of the Browns on Sunday with Dylan Gabriel making the start. We're going to get into plenty of it. All coming up with the guys here from 8 to 11 on Overtime with Jake Volnick. Today we have Jax Gregory running the board as well. You heard him on the 2020s doing work behind the glass. James Bridges with us tonight. I don't know. I get weird vibes right now. The way that Dylan Gabriel and the Browns have been talked about this Sunday in a way that I don't know where the expectation really stands for Browns fans in general. Like, I just feel like we've walked into a place where there's some people that I think are on the same level of me where I'm really excited for this. And not just because, or not really at all because I believe in Dylan Gabriel, because I don't have that much faith in the fact that he's going to be a franchise quarterback or it's going to look great. But I do have faith that the Browns offense is going to look better, as I told you guys on Wednesday. Right? It was a guarantee. I threw it out there. The Browns offense will look noticeably better on Sunday than it has for the first four games. I just think there's something extra there, you know, where there's actually a feeling of excitement. It feels like that's Dylan Gabriel's offense. So, and I feel like there's people in that same spot that I am right now. But I also feel like there's a lot of people on the other side where it's a little doom and gloom. And you had low expectations for Dylan Gabriel coming into the year and what you saw on the college tape. And those low expectations still sit there. And you don't expect anything. And I hear everybody, every time I feel like we've talked about Dylan Gabriel, it's, well, you know, just because this move happened, you'll probably get to Shador at some point this season, right? And that's the national more so than it is the local when we talk about that. But I don't know that that's the same way that I feel that move sort of goes down. Right? The idea is that you always get to Shador if Shador gets ready is step number one. And then step number two is that Dylan has to look bad to the point where you want to turn towards Shador. Or at least not prove himself that that's a quarterback that you want to roll into next year with and you have faith in and isn't just winning you football games. Okay, well then you're probably going to want to turn things over to Shador Sanders. I don't know though that we sit here right now and everybody has any faith in what we've watched and what we believe. It almost feels to me that there's an expectation that when Dylan steps into the game, that there will be failure for Dylan Gabriel, period. And I listened to it all week long. It feels like, and Nick said this yesterday and thought it was a really good point when I was on with him on Afternoon Drive, And it was like every time we talk about the Minnesota Vikings defense, somehow they get more and more difficult. Like every single time they get brought up, it was, oh, that's not a defense to sleep on. You know, they're not the best defense in the NFL, but they're pretty good. And we've now talked about Brian Flores as if he is the messiah of defensive coordinators and is the best thing to ever produce a defense that stands in the NFL today. It's like, you would not believe the way he disguises coverages. It's like, yeah, guys, there's a lot of defensive coordinators in the NFL that attempt to disguise coverages. It's the NFL. If you just show, oh, well, here's a cover two shell, right? We'll just put two safeties back deep and we'll just be in cover two on every single play. You're going to get torn apart. You have to disguise coverages in the NFL. Or in the case of Jim Schwartz and the Browns, you pretty much just go, oh, we're going to be playing man-to-man. Good luck. Right? Like, that's essentially what happens. We're going to press you. We're going to play man-to-man and we're going to bank on our athletes to be better athletes than you. And there's still in that disguised blitzes and some disguised coverages, but it's a lot of man-to-man. But it's across the NFL that happens. And Brian Flores is a good defensive coordinator. I don't want to make that as if he's just another slappy out on the side. And it's like, ah, you can beat up on him the same way you can beat up on any defense. No, he's a good defensive coordinator. I just don't need to sit here and look at the Vikings as if this is going to be the most difficult matchup the Browns have faced to date. You can look across everything that they've played. The Packers defense was obviously more difficult than the Vikings defense are going up against right now. There's arguments to be made, although they've been bad this year, that the Ravens defense should be in that same conversation, if not higher than the Vikings defense. And then I think between the Lions and the Bengals, you got a couple of easier defenses. The Bengals certainly more than the Lions, but not the greatest defenses in the world. This is a game where, yes, Dylan has his work cut out for him, but it's not like we've ever seen Kevin Stefanski walk into a game and just hang his quarterback out to dry. I mean, well, I won't say never. DTR was pretty bad. But like most of the time you put in a quarterback and it feels like there's a plan. And I think we saw that with Dylan Gabriel in the preseason. I think we saw that with Shedeur Sanders in preseason week one. It was like, there's a plan here for Shedeur to succeed. And then he helped himself out with the individual plays as well. Dylan helped himself out, I think, a lot more in week three than he did in week two when it came to the preseason. But you set up an offense that is meant to have you succeed. And the opening drives are always, by Kevin Stefanski, designed to succeed and pretty often, you know, pretty successful at that, as we saw last week against Detroit. I just don't have that same feeling of, you know, impending doom and an impending failure for Dylan Gabriel both this week and as time goes on. It feels like a lot of people have buried the kid before he's got the opportunity to start. And it's the same overarching feeling that, well, he's a third round pick. What do you expect? And then also turn around and go, well, Shedeur Sanders, the fifth round pick, could very well be your best chance at a franchise quarterback. It's like we gotta find somewhere in the middle here. Like, again, we can talk about the Shedeur slide and how everything went down with that. Is he really a fifth-round talent? Probably not. But is he also, you know, a top-of-the-draft type talent? I think it was very clear the way that the NFL handled things. The answer was also probably not. It's like, we're not talking about Dylan Gabriel as Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders as Cam Ward being the 1-1 draft pick off the top of the board, and then Dylan Gabriel is Quinn Ewers going in the seventh round. It's like, well, they just feel he's more NFL ready and he's bound to be a disaster. It's like, he's a third round pick. I expect struggles. There's also plenty of third round picks that I can turn to that have had successful NFL careers. Not many of them standing at the height that Dylan Gabriel has or the stature that Dylan Gabriel has, but it's evidence is there. It happens the same way that I can look at a fifth round pick and say the exact same thing. There's evidence. It might not be as plentiful, but there's evidence to say that it can work. You can cherry pick your own stats the way you want to cherry pick your own stats. Again, I feel like every other chance that we've had to walk into these type of moments where you have a quarterback, you have an opportunity to see what that guy has, Cleveland has always found a way to convince themselves that that guy could be the next thing. I mean, there is more excitement, I feel like, that centered around Cody Kessler when he was making his start for the Browns than there is with Dylan Gabriel right now. And let me tell you, Cody Kessler was not set up nearly as nicely as Dylan Gabriel is. Nor is he probably as good as a quarterback as Dylan Gabriel is. Let's just be real about it. Cody Kessler was not good. I just don't know where the sense of doom comes from. You have to have, I think, some semblance of faith that it at least looks better than it did with Joe. And that there's at least something that can work here. You can tell me you don't believe in Kevin Stefanski to develop a young quarterback and make it work. Sure. Is he going to be a franchise quarterback? Again, ultimately, I don't think so. But can he work in Kevin Stefanski's offense? Everything that I've seen have said that this is going to be, if there's a successful offense for Dylan Gabriel, you're looking at it play right now. The blueprint to a Dylan Gabriel offense is literally what the Browns are trying to put together this season. If it's going to work, it's going to work right now, and it's probably going to work in London. Like, you're not going to get a better opportunity to see if a guy can go out there and win a game, probably for the course of this year, flat out the one-for-one, you know, exchanging in Harrison. You're probably not going to face an offense that might be as inept as the Minnesota Vikings are this week specifically, with no J.J. McCarthy and potentially down, you know, three-fifths of their offensive line. You have all of the opportunity for the defense to keep you in the game and Dylan to do enough to win. If there's going to be a week where you look at the Browns and say, okay, I'm going to understand how they need to win football games in the realistic sense, right? You can try to see it in the Green Bay game. That was not how this team's going to win football games. It was half of how they're going to do it. You look at it and say, well, the defense came up and they made big plays for you and kept you in the game. The offense was not how you consistently win football games. You have that opportunity. And again, I think it does start with Dylan. I don't have an expectation for a gleaming success. I do have an expectation that this thing looks far better than it did with Joe. And I have an expectation that legitimately with Dylan, you should be looking more competitive and just playing games throughout the year. And if that's what it comes down to, if you're telling me, do I think, you know, you get a 4-game leash with Dylan and then you just have to move on from him because he doesn't look great? I don't think that's anywhere near true. I would say that the leash for Dylan Gabriel, one, probably extends beyond 4 weeks because I don't think you'd turn the season over to Shedeur Sanders with half a season to play. Again, that's the vibe that the Browns are giving me, not necessarily the vibe that I get from Shedeur and watching him myself. But I don't think they're just going to turn things over and go, yeah, you know what? Yeah, Shedeur, you can have 9 games. It's not the way they've handled Shedeur at all. To say, yeah, we're basically just gearing this thing up and getting it ready for you to play half of the year. Feels a lot more like that's the Dylan Gabriel rule. So I don't think this is 4 games. I think you're talking about the legitimacy of Dylan Gabriel potentially ending the season for the Cleveland Browns if he plays well enough. Or for the very least, there's a really good chance that I feel like Dylan could just be taking a chunk of the season almost no matter how it looks. If it's good or, you know, bad, unless it is rock bottom where we've been watching with Joe, I think there's a really good chance you're talking about seeing Joe or Dylan for, you know, anywhere from 8 to 12 games. And it feels like that's the quarterback that you drafted, by the way. Everyone likes to label, oh, well, he's a career backup, and that's where we see the ceiling at. Well, congratulations. He's a career backup. There's a really good chance you could play your way into playing a majority of this season. That's the point of career backups. If you trust a guy to be there and be the next guy to step up if your quarterback goes down and still keep the ship moving the right way, you hand things over to the backup quarterback and say, go do it, and they are supposed to be able to complete that job. That's, in a way, what you're asking Dylan Gabriel to do. Of course, more evaluation to it. There's a guy, you know, more so breathing down his neck and more than there is any regular situation in this case. But you're turning things over to Dylan to hold the fort down. If Dylan is what most people think he is, that's still rather successful. That should still look better than what you've gotten with Joe. I don't think it should be an expectation of failure. I think there should be an expectation of limited success, at least with Dylan Gabriel, that the offense looks good enough to keep going and keep this team looking competitive. 216-474-0092. Are you expecting Dylan Gabriel to fail coming up on Sunday against the Vikings? We'll also get you guys on X at Volnick Jake. VULINEC. Jake, swing it to our social media reactions powered by Scheibman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty of good stuff coming up for you guys tonight. Lance Reisland usually joins us every Friday at 8. We're not going to talk to Lance tonight. We'll talk to Lance. You can hear us on Sunday morning leading you up to Browns kickoff from 6 up until kickoff between the Browns and the Vikings out in London. But we will still have Get a Grip, as we always do, coming your way in about 45 minutes at 9 o'clock. And we're going to bring in James Bridges in the 10 o'clock hour for Change Your Mind. Plenty of Browns talk in between there. Plenty of conversation about what the Browns look like on Sunday. And wrapping up the Guardian season throughout the night until 11. But right now, 216-474-0092. Are you expecting Dylan Gabriel to fail on Sunday? We're going to get to your calls and more on Dylan's potential success or failure in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick. With you guys here until 11 on The Fan. Jake Volnick with the guys here on Overtime, asking you at 216-474-0092. Are you expecting Dylan Gabriel to fail on Sunday? Again, I almost feel like, as somebody who was the crash-out person when Dylan Gabriel got drafted, didn't have high hopes, had him as my ninth quarterback, really didn't love anything that I saw from him, aside from he takes care of the football at Oregon. And obviously you can point to it and say, okay, he won football games. Yes, it's a great thing. He was a good college quarterback. He was a top three finalist in the Heisman. I'm not just trying to throw his college career aside because it was good. But like when it comes to
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
To translate into the NFL, I didn't have a ton of faith there. It didn't feel like Dylan Gabriel is necessarily the engine that made Oregon move. I also sit here now and feel like I'm one of the people that's actually higher on Dylan Gabriel and succeeding in the Browns offense, where it doesn't feel like it should have been that way from the outset. And it feels like there's a lot more people right now sitting in a boat where the expectations for Dylan, it just stands very low. And it feels like there's not going to be a ton of excitement surrounding it. I mean, I feel like, Jax, you're like my Paul D. Podesta at times for this show, right? Like, we're thought partners in a way. Like, I'll bounce stuff off you.
I like that comparison, but okay.
I knew you might have hated it.
I lived in San Diego, yeah.
That'd be a pretty good change of scenery, okay? We might actually get to a Browns player at some point making a similar comparison to little San Diego, little nice weather to Cleveland, Ohio, out in London today. But when it comes to the show, you're my Paul D. Podesta. You're a thought partner. I bounce things off you at times. I just run by your opinion and sometimes try to use it to spark ideas. And we bounce back and forth, just the sports talk in general throughout the week. I know that I'm higher on Dylan Gabriel than you are right now, because I remember going back 2 weeks, you were the absolutely do not start Dylan Gabriel under no circumstances when it came to the Packers game. I don't really think you were all in on the Lions game either in starting Dylan, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, no.
But you did come to it's probably time to start Dylan this week ahead
Correct.
Of the move being made.
Yeah.
What is the expectation for you for him coming into Sunday? Is it failure that he actually looks good in their success this week?
I think he's going to throw for like 200 yards, a touchdown and a pick probably. Like, I don't have very
high. With a Browns win or a Browns loss?
Probably a loss.
Okay, so that feels like a failure. Like, yeah. Better than Joe, but not a successful outing.
Correct, yeah.
I'm trying to figure out, like, and again, I feel like it's not crazy of you to say, because I think that's where a lot of people in Cleveland stand right now, is probably that, or honestly even lower than that in the expectation for Dylan, given the way that the offense has looked, the offensive line that's in front of him, the pass catching issues, and him as a quarterback. I'm trying to find what we've seen out of Dylan so far that makes everybody think it's going to be so bad. Like, I feel like we haven't seen much negative actually come out of Dylan Gabriel, and we've seen him, I feel like, more in a Brown-style offense than we would have, like, a Dorian Thompson-Robinson, for instance.
I think it's because of how bad Joe Flacco has played. Like, he was in this, what's supposed to be going back to the same offense as 2 years ago, and he looked, granted, he did throw a lot of picks then, but he was still slinging the ball like crazy. Like, so knowing that same Joe Flacco can't produce in this offense now for whatever, I don't know what makes me believe a 5'10 lefty quarterback that is going to go out there and look so much better. Like, I don't see him looking that much better than Joe Flacco did in this offense.
Which, by the way, one of the nicest ways you could have addressed Dylan Gabriel. Nick's been calling him Timu 2 all week. I don't like that, okay? I don't like that comparison. But, like, I don't know, because in a lot of ways, like, when I look at Joe's failure, a lot of it relied on the fact that he couldn't move around in the pocket, and the offensive line has just been disastrously bad, especially at tackle. And not to say that Dylan's some, you know, Michael Vick comparison where he can just run around in the backfield. This is not like, what Madden was it that Vick was ridiculous?
04.
Okay. I was somewhere in that ballpark. I was like, is he on the cover in 04?
Or
is
it, yeah.
Okay. He was an absolute demon in Madden 04, okay? He could just do anything you want. He could just run around the backfield for a million years. But, like, not making comparisons, obviously, that he's Michael Vick or he's Lamar Jackson or Kyler or somebody that's, like, the comparison I'm talking about, guys that you know can use their legs to be incredibly dangerous. But he has mobility to him in a way that Joe doesn't. And I think a lot of the thing that resonates with me of watching Joe play the 4 weeks versus watching Joe in 2023 has been the consistency of Kevin Stefanski, I think, hammering it into these quarterbacks' heads. We can't turn the ball over. See, we have to be clean.
Here's where I think it cancels out, though. Like, Joe can, and I'm trying to be as respectful as possible, Joe can see over the line. Like, Dylan Gabriel is going to have issues about getting, like, he's going to have a lot of batted down passes. You can't just roll him out every single play. Yes, he can move, but you're going to need him to stand in there and stay in the pocket sometimes. And the balls are going to get swatted down at the line multiple times this game. Like, that's going to happen.
You're going to have moments like that. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I think that comes with the territory of playing a shorter quarterback. But, like, we watch Bryce Young operate at this height. We watch Kyler Murray operate at this height. They get passes batted down, but it's not to say they can't be successful. Like, Kyler's gotten paid. Kyler's a successful quarterback, even though
I think Kyler Murray has a lot more talent.
No doubt about
it.
Yeah. No doubt about it. Bryce Young, probably more talented than Dylan Gabriel is, but also has gone through bad stretches and good stretches where I don't think height is the one thing that was holding him back. I think we can agree on that, right? Like, Bryce Young is not succeeding right now because he stands at 5'10", 5'11". He's not succeeding right now because, well, he can't hit his receivers in the hands and throws it over their heads. That's a lot more of the problem. But, like, watching Dylan and breaking down the tape from Oregon, and I've talked with Coach Riz about this because I can watch one thing and I don't trust what I see in a quarterback to be the end-all, be-all. But, like, he's found great windows to throw the ball through at Oregon. It's not like we're talking about he had 5'10" linemen at Oregon and it was a completely different game. You're still talking about multiple offensive linemen that made it to the NFL and were in the NFL draft this year and ended up being selected as his tackles. And we've also seen it work with Baker. Like, Baker, in theory, should not be able to see over an offensive line either. Baker's probably generously 6 foot. Like, he's 6 foot, maybe, you know, he probably gets listed at like 6'1". Baker's 6 feet tall. It's not like he can just go and he towers over the offensive line the way that Joe does, where he's, you know, the prototypical pocket passer that can see the entire field. But I think what we've seen Kevin do really good with smaller quarterbacks who can move a little bit, in which I see, you know, if you want to talk about athleticism and being able to move, I think Baker to Dylan Gabriel is actually a really fair comparison. They don't run the same way because Baker's very aggressive and he'll put his head down through somebody. That's not Dylan. But when you talk speed in general, I think that comparison kind of lines up. You see him go into bootlegs. You see him move the pocket where you don't just have to stand back there, you know, on a five-step drop and then stare at the back of the heads of your offensive linemen. You have the opportunity to get out and see the field. Like, they're not just going to hang Dylan out to dry. I mean, we saw him in the preseason game. I remember texting you during the second preseason game. It was the first drive that he went on where I think he was like 8 of 8 on his first drive, where he completed his first 8 passes. And we were all sitting around like, not going to say this guy's going to be a franchise quarterback, but he looks pretty darn good right now. And obviously, you know, the start took a drop off towards the back half of the game and things didn't look as good. But there can be success with Dylan Gabriel. You can make it work. I just don't think, if Dylan's not going to succeed, I don't think it's going to be based on the fact that he's too small, he can't see over the line. Like, I think he's proven that wrong time and time again throughout his career. Not at the NFL level at this point, but at every level. You go into Division I college football, playing in the Big Ten, playing for a program like Oregon, or, you know, even a program like Oklahoma. It's like, really, like a 5'10 quarterback's going to be the guy, or a 5'11 quarterback. He's in it in cleats. He's 5'10. A 5'10 quarterback is going to sit there and be ultra successful. Like, again, it's more likely in college than it is in the NFL, but you've continued to prove it wrong. He proved it wrong in the preseason. He looked good enough. Like, I didn't see a ton of moments where I'm like, oh man, Dylan didn't complete that pass because KT Levison was standing up on the left side. Man, he couldn't get it over his head. Like, there was not a moment in any of those games where it really felt that way. Again, there's going to be batted passes. There's batted passes when Joe stands up there at 6'3". Will they be more prevalent with the small quarterback? Probably. I just don't see the one-to-one comparison where that's the thing that holds him back. I think if Dylan gets held back, it's going to be of his own doing. It's going to be because either you're just not completing guys, and we see the accuracy issues that we saw develop during training camp, that we saw had their struggles. Like, every moment that we've actually seen of Dylan Gabriel on an NFL field, we talk about the guy, you know, he's supposed to be a gamer, the same way we talk about Shador. He's supposed to go out there, and when you get out onto a field on game day, your play gets elevated. Like, the only thing that holds me back and has fear is the fact that Dylan Gabriel during training camp had some not great narratives about him, where he did not look good and was dealing with short accuracy problems, which is supposed to be where he's good. That's the only thing that really holds me back from saying it's going to look, you know, I don't want to say great. Again, not a franchise quarterback probably, but like, if saying that Sunday's actually just going to be a flat-out Browns win and the offense operates the way that we hope it does. Again, 216-474-0092. Are you expecting Dylan Gabriel to fail? Let's go to D is Instagram. What's going on, D?
Hey, I want to make a statement. Obviously, like, hop off and listen to you, but I sometimes get a little annoyed with, you know, the Browns fans that immediately just think if somebody's not Josh Rosen tall, they're automatically going to suck. And the reality is that Dylan Gabriel short. We got that. But we're also going to have a completely different offense being called because he's in there rather than Joe. So, sure, I can see him throwing one touchdown, having an interception, but it can't get much worse. I mean, it sounds like people just think it's going to be worse than Joe. I mean, we're going to see a completely different offense called. And Shador just...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
Needs to be not in this conversation at all, so I appreciate you not bringing him up. But in the back of people's heads, they want him to fail. Dylan, that is. And I feel bad for the kid.
Yeah, again, D, and I appreciate you making the call. I think there are people that stand there that way. And again, I don't know that it's going to be a completely different offense. Like, I don't know that that's the fair assessment of it with Dylan in. I do think the offense looks different in a way. Like, I think it's a lot of the same stuff, but it's going to be an expanded playbook from especially what we've seen the last 2 weeks with Joe. They tried to bootleg Joe multiple times in the first 2 weeks. I don't think I saw it half successful one time. That should be brought back into the playbook. You have Quinshon in the run game. This is going to be a run-heavy offense. I guess part of the reason I think that it can only look better and there can only be a level of success here is you had a rock-bottom offense, and it's not like I'm asking you to do anything crazy. I'm going to rely on the run game, and I'm going to try to bolster it off of that. 216-474-0092. Are you expecting Dylan Gabriel to fail? And one thing the Browns did at may have set him up for that, or in a different way might have actually set him up for success on Sunday. We'll get to it in 5 minutes at Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Not necessarily. You know, I think I've always challenged myself to lead without status. And I think it was a challenge early for me because it was different, a role I've probably never been in. But I think that ultimately helped me to win. Now you do get the spot to roll with. You know, you can just attack it the same way.
Dylan Gabriel talking about the connection to his teammates now that he's named the starter. Jake Volnick with the guys here on Overtime. We're going to get a grip coming up here in about 17 minutes. But as you're talking about the idea that, you know, is the expectation that Dylan goes out there and fails. I think for a lot of people, in a way, the expectation isn't that it looks great. Again, when I think a lot of the signs point to the fact that this should look like a competent offense with Dylan in it, for a lot of the reasons that we've laid out across the week, the fact that this is literally a Dylan Gabriel offense that we've been watching for 4 weeks anyway, like if he's going to succeed, he's going to succeed in this offense. But I think there's another part to this too that just goes sort of, I don't want to say under the radar because we talk about it, but it doesn't get highlighted the fact that we say the four-man quarterback competition when we talk about, you know, drops with Jerry Jeudy and drops in the lack of connection with everybody else. I think also as you roll to Dylan, you can look at this one of two ways. You can say, well, Dylan never got a chance to establish a connection with anybody, especially when we talk about, hey, a lot of the guys who didn't start out as top-tier wide receivers on this team with Cedric Tillman heading to the IR are now going to be asked to, at the very least, play a role with guys like Isaiah Bond, who obviously was not there for a majority of training camp. But also, your Jamari Thrashes, you're going to have Gage Larvidan in there, and Malachi Corley, the same thing, wasn't there during training camp. But it's probably going to be Gage Larvidan having to step up a little bit. It's probably going to be a lot more Jamari Thrash on the field than previously. Like, okay, so you're not out there, you didn't have the time to establish that connection with them. I also think on the other side of it, though, when we talk about, oh, well, you know, Dylan ran a lot with the ones. I also think there's a positive spin to the fact that it might not have set up Joe for success, and Joe might have just been basically a punching bag for the Cleveland Browns for the first 4 weeks to be like, we're not giving you the best situation, but you are the veteran in the room. We are handing you the keys to the offense to start things out. I think in a lot of ways, the fact that Dylan was taking first team reps And the fact that you see him out here probably allowed him to establish a better connection than most rookie quarterbacks who probably weren't running almost at all with the ones during training camp would have the opportunity to have. Certainly more than a lot of third-round picks would have the opportunity to establish a connection with their wide receivers. I don't think that's something that people look at and are talking about the fact that I think this is a move where the four-man quarterback competition always was going to hurt the veterans. It was always going to hurt the first guy out. When you talk about the guy behind him, it might be the thing that sets him up for success. Like, Dylan does have now a somewhat connection of throwing the ball to Jerry Jeudy. He's done it. He's had to throw the ball to Jerry. He has a connection, if Cedric Tillman was healthy in this game, of throwing the ball to him. Same thing goes with David Njoku and Harold Fannin. Dylan's had to operate in offenses during training camps and during practice days where he's sitting there throwing the ball to the top receivers of the Browns. Like, I don't know that Jerry Jeudy's drops are a result of a lack of chemistry when it comes to him and Joe Flacco. I find it hard to believe that it doesn't play a factor at all. Right? You were sitting there catching passes from the same quarterback all training camp long. You would think the connection was there a little bit stronger than not. And there was plenty of Joe Flacco to Jerry Jeudy in training camp that would have made you think that was a thing. I also think part of it's being out on the game field is a little bit different than being on the practice field. Jerry's always struggled with drops. It's always been a thing he, you know, hasn't been able to sort of clean up in his career. It might be as simple as, you know, you get a different guy throwing the ball. You get a different type of football hitting you in the hands 8 yards down the field. Might be the difference between a catch and a drop. And again, there is a connection there. You do have somewhat of a connection established. Might not be the strongest. Might still take Dylan a couple of weeks to get into a real rhythm with his receivers. But I think this is something when we talk about the rookie quarterbacks, it truthfully is a level of success of setting Dylan up to actually have some of it in this game, to have some success. Just being able to be in the offense with the starting offensive line, be able to be out there with some of the guys and learn from them and be able to play off of them. These are the type of things that you're supposed to see success in. Like when Shador gets there, well, might have been a little bit more thrown to the wolves, but clearly option one, plan one for the Browns was Dylan Gabriel, and they made sure that there was somewhat trust, belief, you know, set into Gabriel, but also a feeling that you're going to be in there at some point. You should be able to throw to these guys. You should have that connection pre-established. And I think that starts you out on a better foot than not right now. In a game that is ultimately one that you're going to have to be dialed into. And it's going to be the changing point of a Brown season, either good or bad. I think the turning point in when it comes to bad is very clear and obvious to people. Dylan goes out there and doesn't succeed, and Dylan loses this game. Well, the Browns just dropped to 1-4, and their rookie quarterback has not showed any promise. You can see how this season gets really ugly really quick. I also think the opportunity for this to be a turning point in the season is good is right there on the table as well. Like, if this offense does start to click, in you know, Dylan and making that change and running an offense that is suited for him is the thing that makes this offense competent and makes them a true NFL offense. If all of a sudden you pick up a win in this game, you move to 2-3, you have decent quarterback play, that's where the rest of the season opens right back up onto the table. Like, if the Browns are going to try to be competitive and try to, you know, build on what was 3-14 last year and everything that they said in the offseason, how this team is a lot better than people say that it is, a lot better than people think that it is, and that they can actually go out there and compete this year, this is your turning point. And again, like, it's not get Dylan a week under his belt, and if he looks bad this week, sure, he can look good next week. Guys, 2-4 is still a lot worse in the NFL than 2-3. It still is two games under 500. It is not season is lost. You have no opportunity. But starting 1-4 does dig you a hole. It is tough to bounce back and talk about, you know, a potential 7-8 win season when four of your first five games end in losses. You're going to have to flip a switch. You're going to have to be the Cincinnati Bengals of last year who rip off five straight wins in order to almost make the playoffs. You're going to have to find late season success. This was not a move made for evaluation. Like, if you were going to make the evaluation, the earliest you were doing it was basically saying sayonara to the season after week six. And you could have been 1-5 and you're like, well, this season's not going anywhere. You know, it's somehow the only way that we really get into the playoffs right now is if we go out there and rattle off 10 straight wins, 11 straight wins. and actually have an opportunity to do it, or you know, rattle off 9 of 11 wins. This is now an opportunity that they go to Dylan, as Kevin said this week, because the offense needed a spark. Yeah, they needed something to change, and the easiest thing to change out there that actually makes a dramatic impact is the quarterback. Like, the one piece, try to fix everything in one move, is by changing out the quarterback. So you're going to Dylan for the spark, and truthfully, a win does ignite it. I think a team that has every reason right now to feel like they're kicked and feel like they're down, and that there's a lot of ways that this season can go south, and a lot of guys like Myles Garrett could be sitting there looking in the mirror going, did I make the right decision by inking that $40 million contract right about now? Was that the correct decision that I made? Because this is not what I signed up for. I think a win in Dylan looking good is the type of thing that takes the morale. You know, everybody talked about how pivotal the week 3 win against the Packers was just to get everybody to buy back in the fact that they could win. I think a good chunk of that probably got erased when you faced the Lions too and got blown out and looked like you were non-competitive in that game. Just by going to Dylan and Dylan looking good and getting the win under the belt, has that opportunity to completely restore the faith of the team. That there is an opportunity to win. Again, offensive success is really all this team needs to see. I think for them to go, oh no, we can still win football games because the defense is going to be there. But yeah, I think they've proven that across 4 weeks of four good offenses going, okay, well, we've shut down literally all four of them at different moments of those games where, sure, at the end score, you might look at the Ravens, look at the Lions game and go, it looks like we got torched here. But truthfully, it didn't. Like, the defense still, especially when it comes to yardage, held those teams way lower than anybody probably would have expected them to hold those teams to start the year. I think that, if I'm not mistaken, the Browns-Lions games, I think the Browns did also once again outgain the Lions in that game on offense. Like, and that was a game where, again, the end score tells you you weren't competitive. Tells you that game had no chance of being swung in the other direction. You cut down on the turnovers and actually put a little life into the offense. It is the one thing that makes a Grant Delpit, that makes a Miles, that makes a Denzel, and even some of the guys on this offense go, no, there's a legitimate pathway to victory here. It's not only just, you know, the going into the analytics side of it and saying, okay, a team that's 2-3 has a lot better chance to go out and finish a season with 7-plus wins than if they were to start 1-4. But also just the human nature aspect of it, where I can look the guys in the face and go, all right, well, the Vikings might be the best team in the world. They might be a lot lower than a lot of people expected them to be, but that's how you win a football game. With this team, that's how you do it.
Lions did outgain the Browns in that game.
What was the final total in that
277
one?
277 to 249.
Still a very close total. I mean, what, 28
same
yards?
Same amount of first downs for each team.
Yeah, like, again, and I remember looking at that stat, and it had to have been close. It had to have been one of the last drives for the Lions that put them over, because I looked at that late, and I'm like, the Browns were once again outgaining the Lions. Like, it was clear that the offense was digging them a hole, and that special teams had dug them a hole and not done them any favors, because the points on the board were clearly matching. It's not like the Browns are just getting into field goal range, getting stuffed, and then missing a field goal by not putting points on the board. They weren't advancing the ball into Lions territory. But again, these are the moments. These are the type of things that give you a hope and give you a spark. Is that, okay, sure, I got outgained by the Lions by, you know, about 30 yards. Okay, well, you get outgained by 30 yards, you should be losing that game probably by one score. Not going out there and getting demolished. If there's one thing Dylan's going to do, it should be cutting down on the turnovers. He might throw a pick in this game. We've seen him throw an egregious pick, a pick six in the preseason. I'm not saying he's just going to be the ultimate, you know, a protect the football at all moments quarterback. He has been in college, but it's the NFL. You're going to throw interceptions. He's not going to be perfect. I think he gives you a lot better chance to do that than Joe Flacco ever did. And I think that's part of the only thing you need to do right now at quarterback that just gives this team a chance to step up. I'm seeing an opportunity to turn your season and restore faith from your players that this season doesn't have to be a failure. It doesn't have to be one that falls on its head, but can be a legitimate season for the Browns where you climb towards something and actually work towards a goal and start to build some of that culture we've talked about how badly it's been missed in Cleveland. 216-474-0092 is Sunday a turning point for the Browns season. I think it has as much as a chance to be a good turning point as it does a bad one for the Browns. I want to hear what you guys think again. 216-474-0092. Get a grip. Coming your way in 5 minutes right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.